Howard Scherer's going to sit in. I got people, John Eisenberg coming by. We're going to get it. Howard, you want in, man? I mean, I'll bring you in right here. Come on over, man. Howard Scherer was.
You want me to swap out for him?
So let me just tell you who Howard is. Howard and I met at Skipjack's games when I was a reporter back in 1984 and 85, and you couldn't see the game so good from the press box at the old arena, and they served the Death Dogs up there. Howie, pull that chair over here, sit next to Billy.
Here, I'm just going to jump out of the way.
No, you're
and he
not
can
jumping
step
out of
here.
The way. You're staying in here. You're not going anywhere. You're here until 12:30. So Howard and I met. Howard's a big-time sports fan. He owns Duck Doctor. Tell everybody what you suck ducks for a living, right? Yeah, I got to get your headset going here. There you go. You good now? But it's falling. I shouldn't have had you do that. It's going to fall apart. That's fine. It's the broken one. Yeah, pretend your head's falling.
If you start seeing blood coming out of the side of my head, you know why. Right, thanks.
It's not my fault.
Keep going around the corner.
So Howie was like my friend, my DJ partner. Howie was the first Oriole reporter in 1992, 93, 94 when I started my career because he knew a lot about the Orioles. He's gone off and gotten smart away from journalism, not like us, and you left journalism when you left me. But the baseball thing for all of us, where are we on this? Do we have any level of – I had somebody really knows baseball on Sunday, came to me at Coco's, and I'll be there on Wednesday, and he looked at me after even the Bisaio deal, and his first words to me were, they don't know what they're doing, do they? Like, and I'm like, well, you know, PR-wise, they gave his kid a lot of money. He's, you know, 9 days in the big leagues, get a 9-year contract or whatever. I'm just blown away by how bad it was where, like, Luke is like, they didn't have an international program. I'm like, well, the owner was a xenophobe, pretty asked around. So they signed this guy, and even giving him the money, we're like, well, you know, I hope it's not Kobe Mayo. I hope it's not another Rutschman. I don't know what they can do to get people excited, but the bananas got people excited, more excited than Adam Jones. I mean, they give away a Palmer jersey, and there's 5 runs up in the first inning. Jim Palmer, I don't think, ever did that in his career, get 5 in the first inning. And on Palmer jersey night, they seen it. Now they're going to do the Ripken thing with his kid and run him around with Geico and have true life moments. They have to sell tickets, and they have to get good, right? I mean, we're all in agreement with that, right?
Yeah.
So professionally –
I think those two are not connected. By the way,
in what way?
Well, maybe if you're good for a long period of time, it correlates to ticket sales. But I mean, they were good, and they didn't sell that many more tickets, right? Like, people still didn't come rushing back.
Well, that's the point. I mean,
and they were good, and they were fun, good, not just like old player, free agent, good. They were like young guys,
young,
having
promising.
A blast, like just really.
And not only
the
have
fun.
They not really capitalized on any of that, this part where the banner has forced into my old role before they threw me out, which is being the bitch department, you know, the complaint department. Like, literally, Kyle Goon did a week of doing what the Orioles should be doing, talking to their angriest, closest fans to say, you're pulling my seat, you're 13 gaming me, you're. Like, your journalism on this, BAL's not allowed to take those phone calls. The fan sends Katie Griggs out to meet Ed Norris, who's never bought a ticket in his life, isn't even really a fan. And I still sit here owning this radio station with the audience that I have, with no paywall, cheap shot at Corman. But like, wondering what becomes of all of this when they can't figure their own way out, and Cal Ripken and Jim Palmer and Brooks Robinson and Boog Powell aren't digging them out. Adam Jones, they're not digging them out. Like, they're going to have to go have a good product and be good at everything in order to get the kind of money that they really want to get from people in this market.
I think it's a work in progress. And I think you and I talked about it the last time I was here. I think Rubenstein stepped in, and I think he said all the right things about wanting to win and investing in winning and things like that. But I think it was a process. And I'm not sold Elias isn't the guy. A lot of people are. But I think he was sort of – him and Rubenstein had a plan. And the plan was to, let's see if we can build it this way, plug in some holes till the next wave can join these guys and see where we are. And I'm not sure it's going to sell tickets, but I think this offseason is very critical to the future of the franchise, and specifically Elias's job and Rubenstein's ownership reputation. And so I think it's a little too soon – to judge Rubenstein yet, and I think he is I think he's the he's obviously the pulse behind what Elias does. I don't think Elias completely has free reign like everybody would like to believe. And I think he's done a great job in building the overall system.
Right.
So it's just a matter of, you know, filling in those.
Well, they've had bad luck with pitching. I mean, all the arms fall off.
Terrible luck with pitching. And I think the process is hard to follow. It got a little hard. You know, it's been so slow, right? And they asked fans to basically wait 5 years. And then Adley shows up, and then Gunner, and Gunner's great. Jackson comes up a little early. He's only 20 years old. He struggles a little bit. You know, you just lose the thread a little bit. You're excited, but it's hard to follow, right? 162 games, these kids are learning.
Well, once you're in last place buried 30 days into the year.
But Trevor Rogers, you know, last year was horrific, was very bad earlier this year, and now is one of the best stories in baseball. But, like, you have to still be paying attention to know that, and people really haven't. Like, they've sort of tuned out. I really think they need to sign. Like, they need to spend money this offseason just to get, like, fans just want to know, like, we went out and did a thing. We're leading SportsCenter because we signed a guy. And, like, Elias is fundamentally against that because that money is generally not well-spent money, right? When you are giving out free agent money, like, you're not getting value.
Right.
And Mike Elias lives for value. He is always looking for value. But fans want excitement. Fans just want, like, oh, we're going for it. And I don't know, even though this process has built an incredible foundation and has great players, they're not sure that those players are going to stay. They don't know, like, can I buy a Gunnar Henderson jersey and wear it in 6 years? They don't know. 3 years.
Well, they could buy a Messiah one now, but he might be hitting 214. Yeah.
right. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, so I think there's something. They just need the energy. You know, they need to do something to sort of pump that up.
I actually think the biggest thing they could do right now is extend Trevor Rogers. I think
that would be huge.
Show their investment in pitching. He's here next year as it is anyway.
Right.
You know, and there is a risk that he could go back to what he was last year. But they knew, you know, everybody was so quick to jump on him. Early in the year when Kyle Stowers was 2 months ago when he was exploding.
He's an all-star.
He was an all-star, and everybody was so down on that trade. But guess what? I don't know if you guys saw the numbers the other day, but by WAR, Trevor Rogers' WAR is higher than Stowers.
Told you he was a nerd. That's why I invite these guys.
Do you think that the people who would get excited about extending Trevor Rogers are already coming to the stadium?
That's a good point. I think a lot are.
Here's where we are. Let's be really honest. Philadelphia guy, but Banner Sports editor. Bill Cole's here, Cole Roofing. Howard Scher owns Duck Doctor. Myself, I own WNST. My last name's Aparicio. I'm a little invested. I know you through Skipjack Games for 41 years. I've known you 30 years. You go with games sometimes. You're a corporate guy. You like sports enough. You like people enough. You like people who like baseball. You have a bunch of people who would be into going if you had a box or a this or a that for a day or a week or 13 games. I don't give them any money because they've treated me like garbage. These new people have been beyond arrogant, holding the old grudge. So, and the journalist part in me is sort of like, but I would have loved for them to come in, invited me to the press conference a year ago, win last year, won this year. I would be the guy giving them $600-$800 in little bird land just so I could experience what the fans are experiencing. But I feel like they need to earn that money from me. They need to earn they already get my time and they get my cable television. That's all I owe them at this point as a journalist when they let my white employee in and don't let me in. So when they have me drinking out of the back water fountain, I'm not down with that. But that's me being a jerk. And me being the jerk on the radio talks about not giving money. I can't speak to why you, Leonard Raskin, all my clients, like Curio Wellness has seats there and Wendy and her boy like baseball. But like just the people I know in my world who could afford to give them $500 or $1,000. I know one guy, a buddy of mine, I'm going to be drinking with him at the bar here on Friday, that they ponied up a couple of grand and bird landed this year, and they still have all the money on the account. They didn't use the tickets, and guess what they're not doing? They finally came back because Angelos didn't own the team, and they gave just a little bit of money, whatever the Birdland thing is, and now they're like, I'm done. So even the people that like got in and got an oar and gave him a grand or two, were you that guy?
I've done the Birdland membership the Flex plan where you just put the money basically in a debit account.
That's what my dudes did.
Yeah. And they actually didn't change that at all for next year. So that is okay. I mean, I wasn't one of those people.
You're not disgruntled.
Angry. I'm not disgruntled about that.
Okay, good.
But I will tell you, this is the first year that I have a considerable amount of money sitting in my account. Mm. And some of it's scheduling, some of it's life's gotten in the way. I used to use it to take clients, employees, and things like that.
Team sucks.
It's not even that. I mean, I think it's a way to entertain people, but I think life gets in the way sometimes. So I think there's a factor there. And I'm
now, that money stays till next year?
No. Bye. It's gone.
What? So dude. Katie. WTF.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
Katie.
Come
on.
That's not unfair.
Come on, dude.
That's not unfair.
Dude. You're going to take.
The optionality and flexibility that the program provides is pretty cool.
Yes. I agree.
Historically, you bought tickets. You didn't use them. You didn't get your money back.
How much money you got into them? Don't lie to me, Howard.
You at least, he got flexibility.
I'll buy you crab cake today.
I think it was $1,500 this year, and I probably have close to $1,000 left. But.
Sounds like you could see the Red Sox tonight if you want.
Right. I mean, I thought about trying to get tickets.
Give me 10 $100 bills and give me a match.
Like, I mean, I want to use it, and I have a month to do it. I thought about going Saturday for
if any other business dogged you on $1,000, would you go back and buy a new color TV for next year?
It's the same thing like Bill said. If you buy season tickets, you don't go, you're screwed. If you buy concert tickets.
Dude, I got my feelings hurt that they suck. You're like in. Justin, you're in for money. I don't know, man. You're a light. They could do anything. They don't need to be accountable. They can fire the manager
on
Saturday.
No, that's not true.
Come back Tuesday. You're not going anywhere. If you're burning a grand in the last place year, and they're gonna come back and ask for more money in October because they want to have it for the holidays. You're gonna give them more money.
It's actually due in like 2 weeks, I think, or 3 weeks. But
I got a hotel in the Caribbean. If I cancel it and they stole my $1,000, I'd be like, I ain't staying at Secrets.
What happens if you and Jen buy concert tickets and you both come down with the flu?
I sell them on StubHub.
If you can find a taker, if not, you're out.
Right.
I could buy those tickets. I could download them and resell them.
Well, I could be pissed at Mick Jagger for canceling on me when I fly to Vegas or whatever.
Here's the part that I want to throw, because we're not getting anywhere on this problem. So last Thursday.
I'm just amazed.
Hold on.
Just amazed.
I know. Here, I'm going to blow your mind. Ready? Last Thursday, Nate Bargatze was at CFG.
Uh-huh.
And I was there. The Oriole game, same time, right? We were betting on who was going to have higher attendance. Now, I'm pretty sure the Orioles won because Houston travels good. Yeah. At least that's what I was told. So we believe there were more tickets sold for that. But CFG was sold out. So this old...
At a much higher price point.
Probably. This old story about no one wants to come downtown, which is why all of the places suffer, that is changing, right? Like, CFG is winning. They have proof that if you bring good acts in and you get what people want to see, they will come fill that arena. So how that converts to the – I mean, the problem
– How about the bananas?
Sure. There you go. Right. Another great example, right?
Right.
But see, the Orioles, what are they supposed to do about that, right? The Orioles didn't make up the fact that there's 81 home games, right? Like, I'm not going to see Nate 81 times. I'm not going to see the bananas 81 times.
I just think the leeway
the
fans
there's
give.
There's a novelty.
And Chris, I'll bring – like, I love Howard. But, like, dude, if you have one bad cheeseburger here at Costas, you might never come back. Like, this has been 42 years of mostly really lousy cheeseburgers. And, like, the one time you put your money in, to my point of my buddies who put their money in, they're like – Man, I waited 30 years for Angelos to die just to give him $2,000, thinking like and now I don't want it. Billy didn't want to go. They've invited me. I'm like, I don't want to go. I mean, if you invited me, Alan invited me the other night. I had to say, I'm sorry I'm not going, but like, you got $1,000, but let's go down there and eat some food. Let's go get some Ekman or something. Let's go.
I mean, I'm a sports fan. I love sports. I watched the Caps through all the terrible years. We sat at Skipjack games.
I forgot. I met him at a Skipjack game.
Right. When they were 0-16, right, that year.
Wow.
And we went every night to
those
games.
Well, that's okay. We didn't know what hockey was.
Right.
So that was just neat.
Right.
That was just neat.
I mean, I watched the Orioles every night.
What a glutton for punishment. You're my friend after all these
years. Yeah, I know. Right, exactly. You might have to go jump off the grandstands. just kidding. You know, I'm just a sports fan. I'm going to watch. I'm going to go. They're my team. They're my hometown team. The Caps are questionable because D.C. is not my hometown, but they're the closest hockey team to us. I watched when they're bad. Am I worried what's going to happen when Ovechkin's gone, how bad they could be? Yeah. I mean, I don't think they will be, but they could be, and I'm still going to watch hockey. It's just what I do.
I went to a Mystics game last weekend.
And how was that?
Drove all the way down.
To the gym?
They have their own arena.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Towson played
a
tournament there.
It was a blast. We had a blast. I mean, the drive was a little rough for me.
Your daughters were into the hoops.
Your
daughters were into the Caitlin thing.
But I mean, they score almost in the hundreds. Like, you're picking up, you know who the girls are. Like, it's it was fun. It was easy to get in, easy to get out. Like, traffic was a little tough, but, you know, I mean, it was. And, again, that's dollars that the Orioles would have got. Like, I didn't go to the Oriole game. I drove an hour and a half to outside of D.C.
you know,
to go see
I had the Frederick mayor on last week, the mayor of Frederick, Michael O'Connor. They've got the keys coming back in, right? I mean, the Ripken losing the Aberdeen thing and just how much money there is for sports. I mean, like, I don't ever talk Terps around here, because, and they're starting this week too, right?
Right.
And but the Ravens and the Orioles, and you know, just from the banner's perspective and from being a sports, the amount of clicks, the amount of interest, the amount of everything. They say lacrosse is big here. Try to get some clicks on it. Go ahead. But the passion for football and baseball is sort of insatiable to the point where the baseball team could do anything to you, including absconding $1,000 when they're in last place, and you're just going to give them more money next year.
But it's not insatiable enough to fill the stadium. Right, like that's the stadium's never full.
So
like, that's the issue. Like,
they need more of you instead
they're
of taking
sucking,
advantage of people.
They're sucking
like you.
Money out of the people who are committed to going without trying to build
fan
new fans.
Yeah.
But what made it a sellout for a decade?
In the 90s.
Yeah. Like what?
Well, there was no Ravens. They were DC's team.
Not novelty.
Skyboxes, the beauty of the stadium, Cal Ripken, the Yankees played here 12 times a year. The Red Sox played here 12 times. So there was tourism money.
It was the first thing you said.
The harbor was cleaned up. Harbor
Place was here. There were the Ravens. There were no Ravens.
Correct.
Well, that's it.
And I also think there's the competition level. I think you brought up the Terps, football starting this weekend. People don't go to Maryland football games, which is sad because it's the biggest college football program in the area.
Because
but
of
I'm
the
one
Commanders
of them.
And the Ravens.
Right.
Maybe. That's some has something to do with it. But everybody knows Maryland's not going to compete for a national championship likely because of the landscape of college football.
Yeah.
And
I mean, their budget is one-fifth of Penn State's.
I mean,
it's just not even a fair fight.
No, and I think
it's kind of like the Yankees and the Orioles, wouldn't you say?
Right. That's my point. I think the Orioles are in a similar situation. I think fans get excited when they're good, but I think it's hard to get people out there consistently when you see, you know, the Dodgers who are coming in this weekend, you know, with a $300 million plus payroll, and the Orioles are hovering around $120 million.
And you know what my wife says? I want to see Shohei play.
Right.
I want to see the Bananas. I want to see the Nanners.
Right.
You know, I don't know what the Orioles can do to make their thing a bigger deal. They could market better. You know what they could really do? Be nice. That when he puts a story together about Brian Mattis that's all true, don't be down on his beat reporters are trying to sell tickets. Luke's out there trying to help them sell tickets. I'm trying to help them sell tickets right now by being honest with them, being the last person that's not kissing their ass for a press credential to tell them what they want to hear, which is by screwing you out of $1,000, they're really encouraging him to buy them next year or my friends to buy them again next year or for me to go on the radio and say, oh, what a good deal. Oh, what a great deal it is. I don't – because I can't do that. Because I've witnessed this. I've witnessed the deterioration of this over 40 years. And I guess if my 27th anniversary of owning this thing, if I was ever right about anything, and I remember this back when you were my baseball reporter, before the Ravens were even here, we had the first baseball strike in 94. And I always felt like in reading Lords of the Realm and researching that, when Peter came into baseball and didn't really know anything, took the player side in that debate, right? I looked at it, and I would say on the radio, where is this headed if baseball – this is when the Padres were having fire sales. Before the Marlins existed, they were having a fire sale and winning World Series, right? That all happened in 5 years in the 90s, that the sport was so broken that I'm like – The Adam and Eve thing here is the fact that if they're not careful, the NFL is just going to take over the national pastime because they have parity with salaries.
Right.
And
well,
Green
that's
Bay
my point.
And the
sure,
Giants.
Yeah, sure did.
And they have television. And they're smart. And they're unscrupulous. And they only play once a week. And they own Thanksgiving. And before you know it, they're going to own Rosh Hashanah. They're going to own Yom Kippur. They're going to own Christmas. They're going to own New Year's. They're going to own Halloween. They own every holiday. They own Pink Day. They own breast cancer. They own testicular cancer. They own the draft. They own the schedule night so much that the president shut down their email because that's how much they care about the schedule. Now they own Jimmy's tailgate. They own everything in their place because they have a competitive sport where when Lamar Jackson can play, we don't have to wonder what we wonder with Gunnar Henderson, which is he going to be a Dodger or a Yankee, right? So 30 years into this, baseball's fighting – the most uphill battle of all is that the NFL is now placed, and it's a fair fight.
Well, and
because we sit here and talk about it, and it's not a fair fight.
One thing we didn't even mention, in the 90s, the Orioles had one of the higher payrolls in baseball as well.
They did.
So I think fans want to see that commitment to spending the money. And you're right about that. Baseball has done this to themselves in more ways than one. And I think we can all have our opinions here in little old Baltimore, but it'd be very interesting to sit down with a fan in Detroit, in Cleveland, in, you know, Kansas City, and see what they're paying, what those things are. Because I think that's truly probably where the bar should be, or the barometer. And, you know, we're going to – Baltimoreans get angry about everything pretty much. It's same as our friends in Philadelphia. You know, and it's just – it's a different animal because of the market size. But I think that's what we truly have to compare to. And you know what? I don't know what the answer is. If the Orioles' ticket prices are below half those other cities, then it's hard to argue with what they're doing.
I'm a data guy. I want to know how much disposable income is available in the marketplace to the groups that we expect to fill that stadium. Look at all of the different things that are competing for that dollar. It's a significantly different landscape than it was in 94, right? The number of other things that people are paying for or buying.
Well, the Nationals exist too.
Just go ahead and go straight to like streaming and TV and that experience, and like there's so many things.
I mean, right. parents spend so much more on youth sports now. Yes. Spend so much more time. It's like that's his life.
That's your life, literally, right? If you have a child that does, and it might be a lacrosse stick in this town, not a baseball bat, or it might be a soccer ball. There'd be a lot of different things than it was 30 years ago. That's why them eating off of your kindness, your generosity, right? I could come up with nice words and ugly words for which one do you want? Gullible, committed, loyal. What word do you want? But it's all of the above.
Go poll people in 30 other cities and see if they keep the money and do the same thing. And maybe the Orioles are just following.
Yeah, well, which is what they say they're doing.
That's not okay here. So I don't have that in a limited audience.
I don't have an issue with them keeping your $1,000. It's a use it or lose it kind of deal.
I agree.
You've got more flexibility than you ever had, so that one doesn't bother me.
How about you do this? I do think the idea of understanding those other cities is really good.
Why would you do advertising?
Howie, I want to be your nagging wife. Let's just buy as we go. Do we really need to give the – what do we really get? That's what he'll do next year.
That's what's going to happen. Yeah, sure.
You're going to buy. Agreed. So now all of a sudden, they ain't getting your money.
I mean, the tickets are a little bit cheaper when you buy them through the plan. I don't know what the discount is exactly. It might be up to 20%. I was disappointed they took away the food discount because you used to get a discount on food. So when you entertain clients, it was easy just to whip out the card and you felt – or use your phone to pay because that's how you got the discount. But yeah, I mean, there is a little benefit when it comes to that, but sure, I've considered just paying as I go next year. Yeah. But what happens if they start drawing 40,000 people again because they have a new state scoreboard and they have a nice sound system? People want to check it out. Then it's just like what they've done with opening day, and that's something that bothers me.
Yeah.
And that's a personal thing for me is when I bought into this plan, I got dibs on opening day tickets. And do I still get dibs on opening day tickets? Sure, but I'm like fifth on the food chain.
Right.
And this year
at full price at $120.
That was the only time they got me was I wanted playoff tickets.
Right.
So I had to buy the next year's season ticket plan to get a playoff ticket. I mean, that's the only time I did it.
Right.
Yeah. And tickets were available for $15 on game night. Nobody went a year and a half ago. When I went to the owner, the only thing I ever said to the owner was, Mr. Rubenstein, there's been a lot of trauma here. And everything we've just talked about is trauma. And Katie Griggs is going to have a problem with that. Last thing. Chris Corman's here. Bill Cole. Howard. Billy's got to get out of here because I've already broken my curfew with him. I feel like Skinner when they played
Mary. That's what we always do.
Freebird. The last thing on the business side with Katie Griggs and running the team, and I think for baseball in a general sense, the entire perception that they're going out of business next year again, there's going to be another strike, right? So at the bottom of – we don't need to talk about the Ravens other than Justin Tucker. They're fine. They got money. They're going to win the Super Bowl. But the baseball thing, the sport itself and where Manfred is going with realignment, fighting with the union, having Rubenstein be stupid enough to say, like, we're going to break the union, basically. We need to get cost certainty and all that. Like, dude, you don't even know where you're coming from. I've been doing this 35 years. You're not breaking the baseball union. Ask Bryce Harper. You know, go ask Scherzer. They'll tell you. But I would say for Katie Griggs inheriting this and the business side of this and the trust and the money and all of that that they go into – Mr. Big Pants put $1.8 billion up on this, and there's a ton of debt. There's a ton of response. I mean, how much money are you going to lose in an empty stadium in a new investment where you went large in? This guy's a numbers guy, and the biggest thing is work stoppage, work uncertainty, labor uncertainty. But more than that, revenue uncertainty, that we've all looked at these sports and just said that they just keep growing money. The NFL will grow money. They're going to go into Europe. They're going to add an 18th game. They're going to do all these things, right? We know where that revenue is coming from. Where's that revenue coming from baseball? What's Katie got up her sleeve? What are the other 29? And right, who are the smart people in the room in baseball? I don't know them. I don't see them. I don't see ideas. The Bananas are the smartest guys in the room. They figured out how to monetize this and to create some sort of brand that isn't Yankees, Tigers, Shohei, Adley Rutschman, whatever you think your brand is. But getting people's television money, and this is where them being pricks, and they are, like, just the fact that they're holding your money, the fact that they're holding me out, the fact that they've operated in the way they operated. When it comes time to set the cable bill, to figure out whether your household, once you cut your cable, what you're going to be willing to pay Masson, Ted Leonsis, Rob, whoever it is. Fox, Sinclair's up the street here. He went broke doing this, right? The revenue model in baseball is going to be the most important thing of all of this, the national revenue model, because they don't know what they're doing. Well, they really don't have a plan.
I have to tell you, it's funny.
When they say to you it's $6.99 a year just to have the games on your television set, and that's a great deal. It's $5 a game.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a great deal. What's Luke's mother? I always say this to Luke. Luke, your mother's in Pennsylvania. She likes the Orioles, and the games are. She's getting older, and she'll want to watch the games. What's the price point for her? $199 a year, $99 a year, $3.99. What's the? And then, okay, $2.99 a year, and you get a shirt, or you get a hockey puck, or you get a T-shirt, or you get a ball, or you get a free junior. Or like, they're going to have to package this thing to get subscribers in the same way
we do.
The Baltimore Banner does, in the same way that ESPN does, in the same, like, this subscription model for baseball, no bueno, dude. Because it's going to be you and about 10 of your friends that are willing. Because he won't buy it because he doesn't care enough. I know him well. He thinks he loves the Orioles. But if he had a $249, $399 a year to baseball games on that his wife doesn't care about, his daughter doesn't care about, that he's not watching on the app when the app works sometimes, you know, on the Eastern Shore where you can't even get Wi-Fi to make the app work. Like, I'm gravely concerned about baseball's revenue.
He'll pull out his transistor radio. But that's besides the point. I think that it's going to be trial and error with baseball. I think just like it's been with some of the other sports, and I think the NFL obviously is a different animal, but I think it's going to be trial and error to see what people pay for and go backwards. But it leads back to something we talked about Michael Elias being a key offseason. I said, if I'm David Rubenstein, I'm a little worried about investing in a three-year contract with somebody where I might lose a year of that money. So, you know, you're $24 million.
You already lost a year in O'Neal.
Right. Well, that's true, but your $24 million might be for 2 years rather than 3 years if that's the case. And that's something a lot of teams are going to have to...
Yeah.
I think it's all about the gambling, and we don't actually know what that looks like right now.
They're counting on that for sure.
Because if they get to regulators and there's some story where you can only bet on baseball if you're in the stadium, right, or you buy the app to watch it on TV... And then you're betting on pitch strikes and balls, and it's a very now all of a sudden super interactive sport. Like, that's where baseball really does actually shine with your gamblers. Is like,
you bet on everything if you want to.
Yeah. It has that, like,
it's super intricate,
right? Yes. One thing at a time that you can.
We're
always
sitting in an OTB
on,
here where you can bet on the horses.
Right. Sure.
I do know one thing: LASIK aside, drugs aside, you know, shocking the horses, doing all the awful shit that they've done to these poor animals, that there's a finish line and there's a winner. Right. And there's a picture of it usually, and sometimes even that gets disputed at Kentucky Derby from time to time. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you start to adjudicate bets on what a guy in a suit does and says that's pass interference and that's not, you have completely lost the entire act of the Maryland Lottery and Gaming, which is this is on the up and up. That there's no fixing on this. There's no human that's affecting whether this ticket wins a game of random chance.
Well, that doesn't,
sports is a different game.
That doesn't detract from the gambling. You just got to know which way to be on that. Right? Like, I hear what you're saying. Like, when a guy makes a pass interference call or doesn't.
I'm talking about the federal government investigating Hokey Pokey.
Sure.
Which is already going on literally in every sport. Right to the top of Shohei Ohtani's bookie. It might have been him.
Right.
He'll never convince me anything otherwise.
No.
What's going to say baseball, Chris? I'm going to let you get out of here. That's the last thing, because we talked about this. Saved in Philly, in your hometown.
I mean, I think being good is the best thing in sports, right? Like, you have to be good for a while and create demand. Like, that's the number one thing. I think there's certainly things that the Orioles could do, and everybody wrote this story, right? Like, what can the Orioles learn from the Savannah Bananas? Like, there's a lot more they should do to make it fun for kids. You know, like, we have one kid area, and you can get in free if you sit way up in the top stands. Like, that's not enough. There needs to be more that makes it an event. You need to feel like, no matter what, if you're there, I mean, baseball is not the main draw anymore, right?
Right.
Like, it is for some of the fans who are paying now, but those empty seats, like, obviously people are looking for something else.
Well, then, so, you know what? Correct. If you can't suck people into the soap opera, if your best hope is to get little Johnny and little Jill down and have them run the bases and then go home and get a lacrosse stick or play soccer or go to the movies or play their video games, they're friggin' doomed. I mean, baseball's an all-in goofball thing for people like you and me that have been doing this our whole lives, talking about Chico Simone. Literally. And if you're not into that, you're not into the soap opera.
The teenagers, the 20-some, the young kids, this is all they care about. Yeah. And their attention span is this long. You know
but
what I mean?
They do like autographs.
Things like that,
and
they like gambling.
You don't get that anymore, right? Like, that's a big change that happened in that early 90s, too. Like, I can remember going as a kid and standing out back Memorial Stadium and waiting for them to come out.
Yep.
And they would stand there and sign, and there was, you know, 50 of us back there after the game. That doesn't happen anymore.
Selfies.
Maybe. I don't know. Do they engage? Because they're certainly not out in the community. We know that.
I've often thought, and I'll leave it at this, just from a fan experience. And look, Howard, I was on the inside. You were my reporter for years. Alan, being on the inside of it, it was such an arrogant, awful concoction of people. People were, you know, down on me about Angelos. And I'm like, after 10 years of being treated like garbage and being screwed on a $40,000 deal, a business transaction, I got mouthy in 2006. And after that, I watched the complete deterioration. They lost for another 6-7 years after that. They were in their ninth. They lost 14 consecutive years. They were an awful team. And I would go to their fan fest every year down at the convention center when they did away with that, right? I watched that thing deteriorate from we've signed B.J. Surhoff and we're signing Jimmy Key and we're welcoming Rafael Palmeiro. We signed Roberto Alomar and sold out Moonlight Madness. I watched it deteriorate to seeing our friend Jeff Amder, who we honored. I have pictures of he and I. To watching, like, no offense to your Brian Mattis story, but I'm going to give you a little Brian. Brian Mattis is a kid who's a left-handed pitcher who hadn't made it. He's sort of a washed-up reliever starter. And I would see fans pay money to come down to this carnival, get tickets, wait in line 3 hours, 1,000 deep, to have Brian Mattis go chit-chit-chit-boom, chit-chit-chit-boom, chit-chit-chit-boom. And I'm thinking to myself, what is that? That is a completely different experience than me and Ray Bachman and you trying to get Mark Belanger to sign a baseball for us at East Point Mall or whatever that experience. Doug DeSensei's coming to my little league banquet or whatever. And I'm thinking, we have normal. This is 20 years ago. I'm thinking this. This is when I lived downtown. When I first got video moving, 2006, 7, 8, I went over to the fanfare and did live video. The Orioles weren't even thinking about that. I'm live streaming their fan fest, and they didn't even think about
didn't
it.
Register.
Right. And they'd already thrown me out, so they couldn't take my press pass. So I'm over there trying to promote their friggin' baseball team at 8 o'clock in the morning, and there were people lined up to get Brian Roberts' autograph and pay $25 to do it. And I'm thinking to myself, how long is this going to last? And now the stadium's empty. They can't give away playoff tickets. They're going to have a strike next year. I love the Orioles. I love baseball. I don't know what they're doing. I can't. And if Katie Grace were sitting here, I'd say, please explain. I'll be tough. I'll be a jerk. But explain this to me. Try to get my credit card because I love baseball. Just please. I want you to take my money. I love baseball. Treat me like you want me to come. That's all. Treat Howard like you want him to come, not like you're going to bang him for $1,000 he didn't use on his Birdland membership in a year. Don't Don't do that. That's bad business.
I just don't think they're an anomaly.
It's not acceptable.
I think that's where Chris should.
Southwest Airlines.
Their next story is what are the other
money.
Teams doing?
Southwest Airlines lets me use my money.
Yeah.
By the way, the Mattis story was great.
Oh, thank you.
Reading the history and all that.
I hear the woman that sued me hated it. Chris Corman, so you got any parting shots? I don't let you on enough, man, but I am indebted as a real journalist to the fact that there are people like you still doing this stuff, and people like Bill and Costas helping underwrite me, and people like Howard that still believe in it and read your journalism, because, dude, if a bomb hit this place right now and you and I go down, they might as well Khashoggi the whole marketplace because there'd be no journalism being done. I mean, like, literally, it ain't being done by Dan Juris. It ain't being done by whoever's running 13. It is certainly isn't being done by the Smith family. It's just not being done. And I don't know what to say because if not for you, Justin Tucker might still be kicking, probably would still be kicking, and Tyler Loop would be a saint or something like that. Might still be a saint if he wins your bet on the 7th. But I just – the banner's important, and I told everybody that would listen – when you were at the Sun, how important it is, because I'm seeing what's happening to all of this, and it's just, there's no place to even say taking your $1,000 is wrong. They're taking your $1,000 and you're okay with it.
I'm not okay, but it's partially my fault. I can accept responsibility.
Are you going to sign up
again
next year?
He's accepting responsibility. We found the person.
Right.
Dude, if you want to piss your money away, I can do a lot more fun. I can have more fun with you. We can go back to Cancun, you and me, pretend we're single.
Right.
And have a really lousy time like we did.
We should probably go.
No, we had a lousy time.
You're going down the wrong part of this conversation.
Yes.
Chris Corman's here. He is sports editor of the Baltimore Banner. He's a good man. Read Julie's work. Read Fenton. Fenton will come on, I guess.
Read everybody. Read the whole thing.
Fenton's mad at the Orioles, so I can't have him on right now because all he and I do is fight.
Well, he's just a fan. I respect that. Yeah,
he's smarter than that. He's a journalist. He knows.
He's not a sports journalist, though.
But you are. Bill Cole is a roofer and a solar expert and my consigliere. He took over when Howard gave up on me after Critics' Choice DJ back in the 90s. Howard's going to stick around. I think we're going to talk some – what are we going to talk about?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Love you, Bill.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate you, Chris.
Thanks
for coming by. Keep up the good work with the journalism.
Yeah,
I know Bill appreciates it. Back for more. We're Costas. This is all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our Crab Cake Tour. Stay with us.